Getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is a Falcons football Sunday, and our coverage kicks off right now on 92.9 The Game. Welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. We're taking it to 1 o'clock and the kick in Tampa. Another critical game today in the NFC South. Matter of fact, Falcons win today. They take a huge step towards the playoffs, and we'll work you through why today is so critical for the playoffs. I think everybody says, you know, it's early. No, it's not early. Joe Patrick, how you doing? Hey, Joe, it is not early. I want to dispense with any of these people saying, you know, it's still early in the year. Oh, no, it's not early.
It's early in the day. It's early in the day, but it's not early in the year. It's not early in the year. We have a good sample size now, which is good and bad, I think, for some things that we analyze on this Falcons team. Passing offense on a solid sample size, very good. If you look at Kirk Cousins this year, he has really been the top 10 quarterback that they paid him to be in pretty much every metric, whether that's kind of some of the top line numbers or the advanced data. He's usually ranked somewhere in that kind of 10th to 4th range, so I think they're certainly getting their money's worth. But on the other side of the football, that pass rush, man, I mean, we've talked about it the last several weeks, and I think we've found like a broken record at this point.
Yeah, I know. Well, we do have to, because Jimmy Lake addressed the media this week, and I want to talk to you about that. We'll get into that as we take you to 11 o'clock today, the network pregame show, Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. 1 o'clock kick down in Tampa, Wes and Dave on the call from Raymond James Stadium, where, by the way, Joe, I know this is not the lead item on the show. It's just something to note that this is a throwback game for the Bucs, so they're going to wear the old-school 1976 Doug Williams creamsicle orange and white with the Buccaneer uniforms today.
Yeah, and apparently they have a poor record in these. I don't know exactly what it is, but I don't think they've been great in them since they've started going to this look. And I got to say, for me personally, as somebody who's in their mid-30s, I grew up with Tampa Bay being pretty much a laughingstock as a kid, and they were in those uniforms, and it wasn't really until they changed them where things started to really turn around for that franchise, and they won a Super Bowl not long after. But certainly brings good memories for me if I'm to dip into my Falcons fandom and just think about the team when they're looking like that. What do you think about them, John?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, that's what I remember, because their very first year, you know, John McKay, you know Rich McKay,
yep.
Everybody, half of Atlanta hates Rich McKay. Well, I like him personally, a friend of mine, so I have to always be transparent about that. But Rich's dad, John, who was the star, great, great college coach, won national title at USC, goes to the NFL, takes over Tampa, and in his first year, doesn't win a game.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's how they started.
Can only go up from there.
And they did, of course. You know, I mean, you got a couple of Super Bowls. So, I mean, look, what do you want? And so they're wearing these uniforms. Again, that's not the lead out today. This is why it's not early. I want everybody to pay attention, you know, or take notes here. First off, it's week 8. So we're almost halfway through the season after today. Almost halfway through the season. And a season where your division schedule was front loaded. This is game 4 of 6 in the division already.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kicker, Joe. If the Falcons win today, I want everybody to hear me now. If the Falcons win today, they take sole possession of first place in the South. That's not actually the big prize today. The big prize is they win all the tiebreakers, because they would own the head-to-head tiebreaker for the rest of the year over Tampa. They'd own the division tiebreaker for the rest of the year over Tampa. Really, the division tiebreaker doesn't mean anything because you own the head-to-head, so
right. It's
over. And with the Swampers falling apart and Carolina totally just out the door, you win today, you have all the head. You have all the head-to-heads. If it's a two-team race between Atlanta and Tampa, you win today, you own the tiebreakers for the rest of the year, Joe.
Yeah, you don't win the division, because obviously the division is won by, you know, all the games on the schedule. But yeah, to your point, you have everything wrapped up in terms of the tiebreakers, and not just the tiebreakers, but just by virtue of the fact of winning these games against your direct opponents for the division, you just set yourself up in a good place. And John, what's really interesting about this game and what makes it so tantalizing in terms of the big picture, like you're talking about with the season, is not just what it means for the Falcons, but Tampa Bay as well. I mean, think about if you're in Tampa Bay's position, you've got to win this game to give yourself that opportunity to not be losing all these tiebreakers. And then their schedule also gets a little easier at the end of the day, or I'm sorry, after their bye, which comes a week before the Falcons' bye. But still, they've got two tough games in the meantime. You have to feel like if you're a Falcons fan, that if you win this game today to get to 5-3, you really need to go 5-4 in the rest of the last nine games of the season to get to 10 wins, and that's going to get you in if you have these tiebreakers. So it really sets you up in a beautiful way, especially considering who is on the schedule for the Falcons come the stretch of the season.
All right, last meeting a couple of weeks ago. Let's take you back to the not-so-way-back machine, because it was just a couple of weeks ago. Kirk Cousins shatters the record. You know, Matt Ryan gets his jersey retired. Kirk goes out there, throws for 509 yards. But they still need the coup field goal at the buzzer. They still need the amazing, what has been the play of the year so far, Kadir Hodge in the run and catch in overtime to win 36-30. And that game went back and forth and back and forth. In a game the Falcons actually kind of dominated, but still were at the risk of losing here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but they did manage to win the game. And is to your point here, because we'll get into the injury situation with both teams. We'll break down both teams here. But with that loss, this game, because we mentioned the Falcons could all wrap it up, this game is hypercritical for Tampa, and they're talking down in Tampa on the blogs about how important this game. This is absolutely viewed as a must win by many Buccaneers fans. A must win.
Right. Right. Say, I know. Yeah, exactly. And we've been talking about how important this game is for the Falcons season, but it's probably even more important for Tampa Bay because they don't have the wiggle room. They lost that game 36-30 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium earlier this year, just a few weeks ago, actually. And that puts them behind the eight ball. You know, if it were the Falcons who had lost that game, it would kind of be flipped, even though it's obviously a super important game for both of these teams. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how much differently it plays out, John, than that game a few weeks ago, because I think it's going to be very different, frankly. And it depends on, you know, part of the reason why Kirk Cousins threw for over 500 yards in that game was kind of the state of the game where the Falcons were chasing it and they had to end up throwing the ball a bunch in that game. But, you know, this Buccaneers team, I think one of the lead stories for them in what is an absolutely pivotal game that we've been discussing is that they're going to be without their two most talented players. Generally, you could say that generally speaking, both of them happen to be wide receivers for this team, and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And how is this offense going to look without those two players? I mean, they're so pivotal in everything they do. You kind of, if you're Liam Cohen, the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator, I think you got to go back to the drawing board this week and just kind of figure out a new offense to run almost like without those players because of just how involved they are with everything. And so I think it's going to play out a lot differently. And, you know, again, we'll get into some of the details.
Right, Godwin, I mean, the video of Godwin, if you haven't seen it, don't look for it. It was Joe Theismann, gruesome.
Yeah.
Evans this morning is listed as, I mean, you may know better, is listed as questionable with his hammy. I guess he's a no-go here. I don't have him listed as out. Do you?
I'm sorry, who's that?
Evans.
Oh, Evans will be out. Yeah, he'll be out. He'll be out.
Okay, right. Yep. That's good. Just good to know. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on this fall Sunday. Boy, it feels like fall outside. Looks like fall, though I'm sure down in Tampa in the open-air stadium, it'll feel more like summer down there. Reminder that this is brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick taking you to 11 o'clock and our network coverage pregame and then the game with Wes and Dave from Raymond James Stadium. Just to touch on the one thing that you mentioned about how Tampa might play today here. In the last game, Tampa ran for 160 yards on the Falcons. And the Falcons' rush defense has been non-existent almost. I mean, they get pushed around. I mean, I know that we can talk about, you know, being dinged up, especially at linebacker on defense. That's fine. But Jimmy Lake meeting the media this week, What has happened? We'll worry about the other side of the, you know, the back seven. What's happened to the front four here that they're getting shoved around? We're talking about Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. We're talking about, you know, Eddie Goldman. We're talking about really good players here. You know, we're talking about guys that don't get pushed around. He's got some game, and they're getting shoved off the ball, Joe.
Yeah, they are, and that's why I you know, I think that this aspect of the team has kind of been overshadowed by the pass rush. You know, and it's the same kind of area, the defense up at the line of scrimmage, and what they're doing or not doing. But I think it's been kind of just as egregious with the performance in this run defense. And obviously this Falcons team has also been missing Nate Landman, a key run-stopping linebacker for them with an injury, but he hasn't looked the same since he's returned from the injury. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, I remember being at that game against this a few weeks ago, and you could just see the offensive line getting pushed around. The defensive line getting pushed around. Also, something about Jimmy Lake's defense, and I'm expecting this to change, but you will wait and see, which is that he, you know, they just are very kind of dogmatic in not wanting box and kind of playing a coverage first style of defense in terms of personnel, matching personnel on the perimeter. And this is going to be a game where you have to think they get away from that a little bit. Justin Simmons is not going to be playing today for the Falcons, so there's an opportunity to maybe get in a more of a box type of safety and a Richie Grant who can give you some support there. But, you know, this Tampa Bay team's going to have to run the ball. They just don't have those weapons on the perimeter, so you would expect Jimmy Lake to get his defense in a good position to stop the run, as best position as possible, because you know it's coming. And if they can't do it today, then, man, you may never be able to do it.
Right. We'll get more into it, because I think this is the big discussion about the Falcons, because, you know, kind of the game within the game, so to speak here. We understand how important this game is today against Tampa. We walked you through all the tiebreakers. If you win the game, you own these tiebreakers for the rest of the year. This is this front-loaded division schedule, which is why we said, you know, you can't worry too much about, you know, non-conference games, even though you'd like to win them against the teams like the Steelers and Chiefs, or even non-division games, though you did fairly well in those until last week in the conference. You're still on the upside in the conference, but you had to win your division games, and the Falcons swept the division games at the start of the year, which put them in this position today that they sit. But at the same time, you start big picturing this, Joe, and again, we'll get into some of the details coming up. You start big picturing this, and you say, okay, you got to fix the flaws, and there seems to be, especially on the defensive side of the ball, some resistance to that. Look, they know more about football than we do, but this is a defense that under Arthur Smith over 3 years and under Dean Pease and Ryan Nielsen was the dominant part of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty much the same guys, and they don't look the same defense.
Yeah, they don't. I think, to be fair, John, I think that we knew or expected this Falcons team to be an offensive-oriented team when you go out and spend all the money that they did on these free agents on the offensive side of the ball led by Kirk Cousins. You kind of knew that the offense was going to be the driving force behind this team. I mean, the Falcons didn't make a free agent signing on defense until they signed James Smith-Williams. He was signed relatively early, but he was the only free agent signing, really, this team made, frankly, on the defensive side of the ball. And then they added some players to the draft, and then obviously added Justin Simmons and Matt Judon, who have been key players for this team right before the season started. But, you know, I thought we expected this Falcons defensive unit to be a little, you know, lesser than the offensive side of the ball, but not this bad, I think, especially in the run game, especially in some of these basics that we thought they'd be able to get done. And we thought that defensive line was going to be one of the strengths of this team going into training camp. And all the conversation was about how deep that area of the team was. And what has really ended up happening is some of those younger rookie players have not been able to get as much playing time because you've got all these veterans, but the veterans aren't even quite getting it done. And so I think there are some things that Jimmy Lake can go to in terms of rotating some guys in more, some of these younger players in more, trying to see what you can get out of them in some different spots on that defensive line, maybe get Zach Harrison in, even as an edge, maybe potentially, especially in a game like this. But it's going to be interesting to see how this defensive line fares today against a good offensive line for Tampa Bay on the other side that, like you said, John, opened up a lot of holes for them in the first game.
Yeah, Tampa does have a good offensive line. There's no doubt about that. And then they're going to lean heavily today on the short passing and the run game, especially without Evans and Godwin. All right, as the countdown continues to kick off in Tampa, we'll continue in a moment what Raheem Morris said about the very unpleasant loss last week to the Seahawks and more as we continue on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke, Joe Patrick on this Falcons Football Sunday on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, not the effort. You know, we didn't come out. We came out flat today. You know, I hate to question guys' effort. I think the guys came out. We didn't play well, and we got to fix that. And that's something we got to go back to the lab and do.
Yeah, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. That was Raheem Morris after the loss to the Seahawks talking about how the team was flat. That is never, ever acceptable. In any game in a 17-game season, you cannot be flat. You can lose a game because of something, but you can't come out. That's just not a good look. I'm sorry, just not. Wade Ford Tailgate Show ahead of the Falcons and Buccaneers 1 o'clock kick in Tampa today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke along with Joe Patrick. And Joe, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm forgiving of, you know, when it comes to losing a game. You know, not having your head in the game, being flat is not one of them. I'm sorry, it's just not.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was more of a mental flatness for me than a physical one in the game. And I think that was evident by the penalties that we saw, over 70 yards of penalties for the Falcons in that game. And especially early, you had, three false starts in the opening drive. You have some miscommunications on the defensive side of the football. It can kind of, it's not to make light of it, because, you know, a mental flatness is just as bad as a physical flatness, because you give up big plays like that that are backbreakers, and that's exactly what happened. At the end of that first half, the Falcons actually had a chance to drive down the field, and if they had scored a touchdown on that drive, they would have taken a four-point lead going into halftime, where they get the ball back. You know, a field goal would have tied the game with the same circumstance in the second half, but instead they just kind of have a feeble, you know, punt, and then they give up that backbreaking touchdown right before the half ends, which is just totally inexcusable. Which, you know, Justin Simmons did hold his hand up and take full accountability, said that was his fault, and that's you know, good to hear. But ultimately, you know, those things happen, and they cost you games, and they did on Sunday.
Yeah, that was the first time this year where the Falcons either didn't win or didn't put themselves in a position to win, and to lose a conference game to, no offense, sort of a mid-team, not even sure they may or may not make the playoffs, in that fashion at home. Yeah, that's just, it's none of what happened last week was good, and, you know, all of us were tweeting about how this was just a, you know, not a good look for this franchise here moving forward here. Now Jesse Bates was out after the game talking about, you know, hey, listen, let's put this in perspective. So I'm going to try and roll with that. And here's Jesse Bates talking about last week's loss and his perspective on where it kind of falls in things.
17-game season. We're 4-3, 3-0 in our division. We go to Tampa Bay next week. So if you want to overreact, there's going to be a lot of people talking, oh, we got beat, but we'll be fine.
All right, he says we'll be fine, and he's not wrong. Again, one of the things the Falcons have managed to do so far this year, Joe, and we kind of talked about it in the opening segment, is they've won the games that are most important. They've won the most important games, which puts them in a position that in this game today where they can, halfway through the season, you'd end up, after week eight, owning the tiebreakers in the NFC South over everybody, really, because the only team you really wouldn't own the tiebreaker over is, believe it or not, is the Swampers. But you'd hold the tiebreaker over everybody in the division for the rest of the year. So they've won the critical games, but they've got to get their head in the game. And last week was the first time that I've been actually truly disappointed with the team. So we'll see today, how do they respond to what they did last week?
Yeah, it was a big letdown, and you do wonder if you're going to have a loss like that, which let's be honest, it tends to happen to most teams. Have a game like this, even the Chiefs last year when they won the Super Bowl. That you remember that game they played against the Raiders late on. I think that was a Christmas Day game. It was just they were flat. You know, they weren't ready to play. At least it happens before, to your point, John, you have the biggest game of your season, at least as big of a game as you can pretty much possibly have in week eight of the NFL. So you hope that it's a wake-up call. You hope that, you know, you have that, or at least you're kind of glad that you have that against Seattle and not in this week against Tampa Bay. But it also is just, it's still disappointing, though. It doesn't make it feel any better because, you know, the the thing you wanted to believe as a Falcons fan this year was that this team was going to be different than past teams in terms of being able to string together the wins, which we had not seen happen since 2018, 2019. Obviously, you need a modicum of talent that has been injected into the team over the last couple of years that has allowed that to happen. But last year, we saw them have those opportunities, and they just did not take advantage of them. And yeah, there was another opportunity to do that last week to stretch it, your win streak to four games, and they weren't able to make that happen. But we'll see how they bounce back this week. And I think that will be, you know, very indicative of where this team is under Raheem Morris right now.
Yeah, right. It'll be very telling if he can get it to back. But this falls on the coaching staff, not on the players, in my opinion. And this is, and they have to, I think the coaching staff has to understand, you cannot, you have to be ready to answer the bell every single week. This is the NFL and everything counts here, right? So, all right, one more from last week and then we'll move forward again to this week. But toward the end of the game last week, Michael Penix Jr. Gets into the game, makes his NFL debut, throws a couple of passes. I mean, gets in there for a couple of snaps. And this is what Michael said about running out onto the field for the first time.
I mean, it felt good. It was, you know, it was kind of a surreal moment. You know, obviously, it's not the best situation that we were in, obviously, with us being down, you know, but to be able to go in and just operate out of high level, you know, it was definitely good.
Yeah, and for first time in a long time, a left-handed quarterback named Mike took the field for the Falcons. So I don't want to spend much time. Obviously, there's not, Joe, a quarterback controversy here. But I do like the fact that Michael Penix Jr. got into the game last week. I mean, it was nice in a way. The fans in Seattle, because he played at UW, you know, were, you know, thrilled to be able to see him in the NFL. But I also think it's important because of this, you know, kind of sticking point that some NFL head coaches seem to have where they're still playing their starters, not unfortunately for the Falcons, when they're still playing right. their starters in the fourth quarter of a game where they're up by 30 points, because that's the nature of the NFL. Whereas in college, you always see, well, let's get the backup quarterback in there to kind of get some reps and snaps and get them comfortable. I like the idea of putting Penix in because I think we set a template here over the at least the rest of this year that should the Falcons get into games where they are well ahead in the fourth quarter, you can get Penix in and just get him comfortable and get him up to speed and get him snaps. I like that idea.
Yeah, I think that the Falcons coaching staff and Raheem Morris is going to want to do that as much as they can. Hopefully it's more on the winning side than the losing side, like Michael Penix kind of alluded to in his response there. But yeah, like I've been doing the memes, John, of him being the only rookie quarterback who hasn't thrown an interception so far this year. He's got 100% pass completion, so that's all fun right. and good. But I thought what was interesting, something that Raheem Morris said about that moment of Mike Penix going into that game on Sunday was that he's like, I didn't have a conversation with him. I didn't like have to like kind of like, you know, I think everybody kind of imagined it was like, okay, here's your moment, Mike. And, you know, we're going to put you in, do this, that. He didn't need any of that. He just kind of said, all right, Mike's in. He goes in, he runs the offense. You know, it's nothing complicated, mainly just some running plays. And obviously he throws that hitch to Casey Washington, but good to see him get that experience. At least he's got that under his belt now. Hopefully that means, you know, he won't kind of be overwhelmed by it. And I just got to say, just in talking to him generally when we have the opportunities to his media up there at Flowery Branch, I mean, he is the exact kind of temperament you want in a quarterback in his position, where he's going to have to sit for the better part of at least a couple of years here while Kirk Cousins leads things. But he's just a quiet, humble guy who commands respect, I think, from his teammates in part because of that humility that he has. But he's also a hard worker and, you know, it just says, you know, I'm going to have myself ready to play next week, whether they need me or not, whether I have to come in for five snaps or no snaps or, God forbid, something happens. I think that he has the kind of temperament and professionalism to his what he brings to the quarterback position that is what got the Falcons so excited and made them want to draft him in the top 10.
You know, and I will say, you know, the rookie class of quarterbacks, not including Penix, because obviously he hadn't played except for last week, has performed admirably so far, just largely in the NFL. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. I mean, their teams are winning. And so, you know, it's hard to argue with some of the results here from some of the rookie quarterbacks, even if the individual play is only, you know, kind of secondary to that, but I mean their teams are winning, and as a result, they aren't, you know, just don't lose the game for us kind of thing in some cases here. And we'll talk a little bit about that matchup of Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams coming up here. So, but anyway, it's nice to see Michael Penix in there, and hopefully the Falcons can start to get him into games where they're ahead and have the game on lock, and that would be a much better thing here.
Yes, please.
So let's go back to this week here, and let's begin just briefly to talk about the other side of the ball. Penix to Kirk Cousins, 509 yards the last time they destroyed this Tampa. If you remember, if you look at Tampa, think, oh yeah, that's that Vita Vea and Levante David and all these kind of guys, and oh my God, look how great they. Oh no, nah, they're this Tampa defense. While we have our issues on the defensive side of the ball, this serious issues on defense.
They do. It's a huge struggle for them right now. They're allowing receivers basically to be more open than any team in the NFL by the separation metrics that they use. Four in coverage. They don't get after the quarterback particularly well. In fact, they have to bring the blitz a ton, and Todd Bowles is bringing the blitz about more than anybody else in the NFL here. It looks like they're 6 mile. And they brought a lot of exotic stuff against Kirk Cousins in that game, and he was just slicing them up. Now, there will be a big difference this week where Tampa Bay gets Antoine Winfield back, who is like their Jesse Bates. I mean, he is their, all-everything safety, pro bowler, or I'm sorry, all-pro, really, player back there. And so getting him back is big, but still, they've got a lot of just pieces with guys in the back end that they're going to be missing, which we'll talk about in the injury report, linebackers who are just been proven to be really terrible coverage guys. And we saw that for those Falcons receivers a few weeks ago against this defense really be able to find those holes in the zones, and they had room to run. I'm just thinking about Drake London. I'm sure you remember, John, he's just kind of getting off the line, finding a little zone, kind of almost half turning towards Kirk so that he can receive the pass and get a field.
155?
Yep, exactly. 154 yards and a touchdown. They didn't really seem to have any answers for him. And I think that it's not going to be much different in this one. I think the big difference is going to be, of course you want to score any way you can, but in terms of the Falcons being able to kind of manage this game, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they decide to execute what they want to on offense this week, especially since, you just faced this team 3 weeks ago and they've got all that tape on you.
Right, and again, this will be interesting to see how the Falcons choose to play this in terms of trying to get, the run game, setting up the pass game kind of thing. In the Falcons' case, I think one of the identities of the team offensively is, I think with Kirk Cousins, I'm seeing where the pass game actually sets up the running game. And they've kind of seen Zach Robinson kind of lean on that a little bit. And it is good that they don't listen to us, obviously. But when it's obvious to us, then it's obvious to them. The idea of getting Tyler Allgeier more involved, for example, and getting Charlie Werner and putting some more emphasis on downfield blocking, which, by the way, the Falcons wide receivers have done fairly well this year. But having Charlie Werner in there, I think that you're seeing the Falcons run kind of their the playbook of the running game, and the emphasis of the running game is evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see. It was great to see Bijan Robinson have the best game really of his season last week against Seattle. Mm-hmm. One of the few bright spots, maybe the only bright spot for this Falcons team last week, but it was great to see that. That of course limits Tyler Allgeier, and I think that there's, I don't know, question marks about how they both get used, but it really just seems like if Bijan is having one of those games where he's hot and the offense is kind of flowing through him, it's just going to be one of those games where Tyler just doesn't get the ball as much in a given game. And it can happen vice versa. We've seen that happen already this year. But it does feel like this Falcons offense is obviously at its best when they get those guys going. And you really truly have that dual threat of the run and the pass. And when, Kirk Cousins has a run game going for him, it makes everything that he can do so much more dangerous in terms of the play action stuff, the throwing over the middle. And so you'd like to see that happen. Again, you just got to, you want to score points any way you can, because you want to put this Buccaneers team in a position where they've got to play from behind without these receivers. That's really what you want. If you're the Falcons, you want to kind of control the way that this game flows. You do not want Tampa Bay to just muddy everything up and, make it a slog. So it's going to be a very interesting tactical game between these coordinators going against each other today.
Yeah, another big game, another showdown between two old rivals as the Falcons take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We are taking you to 11 o'clock this morning and the network pregame coverage with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. 1 o'clock kick, Wes and Dave from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. And when we get back in a moment, the NFL today will run through the schedule and get Joe's thoughts on some of these critical games, including we mentioned a big rookie showdown between two great rookie quarterbacks. It looks like it might actually happen. There was some question about Jaden Daniels, but it looks now like he might play today. So that'll be interesting to watch. We'll catch up to speed next. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons Football Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Will you wear a Guardian cap?
Nope.
Why?
Personal choice.
All right, if you didn't hear that, clearly, just I'll recap that. It was a reporter asking Tua Tagovailoa, are you going to wear a Guardian cap? And the reporter said, why? And Tua said, personal choice here. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment and what that, the potential impact of that is, because there's a lot of discussion about that around the NFL. And welcome back. Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons Football Sunday. Looks like a football Sunday out here, but the Falcons are not here, of course. They are in, and it's too bad, Joe Patrick, because this would be like the absolute perfect day to have the roof open at Mercedes-Benz. You couldn't, if you drew it up on a map, you say, okay, this is what we need, perfect, this would be it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, it's starting to feel like fall now. You know, you wake up on a late October morning, it's chilly. That's what it's all about right there.
To Tua in just a moment. First, let's, as we look around the NFL, remind you that this look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield, and Hatfield wants you to put pork on your fork. It began Thursday night. The Vikings lost back-to-back games now. They're 5-2. Matt Stafford threw four touchdowns, and the Rams beat the Vikings 30-20. All that does is indicate to us, Joe, it's obvious to everybody there's no clear favorite in the NFC. So the Falcons can step into that mix for not only the playoffs, but for the number one seed because of the fact that there is no, if they play better, obviously. So this is not wishful thinking. I mean, if you're a Falcon, you got to go out and take care of business today. You got to win on the road. You got to do all these things. But as we start to look at the back half of the season, there are going to be games that are going to be critical for different reasons, not the least of which might be the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, and it should be, I think, a pretty interesting race for that number one seed, and I think that the Falcons could potentially be one of those teams. I mean, they have an opportunity with the schedule that they'll have in the back half. Now, when you just look at the top of the NFC, you got Detroit, who's kind of leading that race now at 5-1. They've already had their bye over a lot of these other teams. But, you know, Washington right up there at 5-2. Obviously, they look great so far this season, but they're not necessarily a team that you thought would be, definitely not a team that you thought would be at this point, at 5-2 and with one of the top records in the NFC. So you don't know if there could potentially be a drop off from them. And then Seattle, that team that we all, you know, thought was, should have been a not just a winnable game for the Falcons, but a game they should have won last week. You know, they're leading the NFC West right now at 4-3. That's over, the likes of San Francisco, who's 3-4. Some of these top teams that we're used to, you know, don't have these really good records. Dallas, 3-3 right now. And then you've got all these teams at 5-2 between, or like five win teams between the Lions, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago is 4-2. Well, they're all in the same division, so they're going to beat each other up. Like, some of those teams are going to take mm-hmm. losses, and you would think that, you know.
Yeah, right. They haven't played division games up there.
Right, exactly.
No, that's absolutely a great point. Yeah. Whereas in the NFC South, we played this front-loaded division schedule.
Yeah, so I guess my point is just that it looks like, you know, the leader of the NFC, the winner of the NFC is not going to be one of these teams who's like 14-3 or has one of these amazing records, it feels like to me.
No, I think, I got to tell you, it's 11-6 probably going to be.
Yeah,
number one
seed. Could be. Yeah.
12 and 5 might be a lock.
Yeah, with some of those tiebreakers, you know, that we've been talking so much about, that could you know, help in this circumstance with this bunched up conference.
A couple of quarterback notes in the 1 o'clock games here. We mentioned Tua not wearing the Guardian cap. The Dolphins are hosting the Cardinals today. The discussion around this week has been, you know, Tua's health, Tua's safety, and you know, the fact that if he were to get hurt again and not wear the Guardian cap, that there is some chatter. I'm not saying I'm in favor of this, but the guardian caps might become mandatory for quarterbacks in the NFL. I know that that doesn't seem like it could possibly be true, but I think the NFL is looking at Tua so hard that they can't afford, again, what's the first order of business? Protect the shield. So I don't know how this will play out, but it's almost like some Dolphins fans wanted the NFL to order. And now they can't, because there's no rule here, Tua to do it, unless they have a blanket rule that says all quarterbacks must wear guardian caps.
Yeah, that's interesting, John, because that would tell you that, you know, the NFL knows that having the guardian caps on is safer for the players, just straight up. And you wonder why that's not happening. I mean, I'm not saying that it should happen. I'm just saying that it's interesting that it seems like there is a safer alternative. It's essentially that is not made mandatory. So that's interesting. But having said that, I do also just want to say I'm happy for Tua, for him to do whatever he wants. And I do feel like sometimes I look at this situation with everything that happens with him in his career and these injuries that he suffers, and you see like this critical mass of people from the outside kind of imposing on him, like, what is the correct thing that he should do in this situation for his health and everything. And, you know, I think he has agency in it. So it's his right to, you know, continue to play football. First of all, you know, that's kind of the main thing. Everyone was saying, kind of assuming that he was going to retire after that last concussion that he suffered in the minutes afterwards. So, I'm just happy for him. And I hope that he, you know, is able to resume football and playing and obviously staying healthy.
Also in the 1 o'clock window today, in addition to the Cardinals and Dolphins, the Eagles are on the road at the Bengals. You'll have the Titans, who have really struggled this year, and really, boy, I tell you what, it's not good up in Nashville. In Detroit against the Lions, who, as Joe mentioned, are 5-1. The Jets are at the Patriots. Jets are in, don't know if they're in full meltdown mode here. By the way, we talked about rookie quarterbacks. Drake May last week, even though the Patriots are awful and going for the number one pick, became the first rookie quarterback with at least 240 yards passing and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 starts.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. That's
in NFL history.
That's amazing. That's crazy. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
So there's that. Yeah, Drake May's lighting it up, and the Patriots aren't winning because they're just overall they're terrible. Packers, you mentioned, are 5-2. They're at the Jaguars today. Colts are 4-3, playing at the 5-2 Texans in a critical game the AFC South early season here. Now, and the Ravens and Browns. So this is the one I wanted to get to, because Browns obviously are a disaster. Ravens, certainly, I think a threat to win the Super Bowl here. But Deshaun Watson. All right, now he's got the bad Achilles. I'm wondering, you know, how it's going to, and Jameis Winston's going to start. I'm wondering how this is going to be viewed long term. We keep saying we dodged a bullet with Deshaun here in Atlanta as maybe the worst contract ever given out in NFL history.
Yep.
I mean, oh my God.
Yep. It's hard to describe. It's because there's nothing to compare. Honestly,
his cap hit next year is $73 million. That's next year.
Yeah,
$73 million,
fully guaranteed too. No, like a lot of these contracts have, you know, outs for injury and stuff. This one does not. So they're going to be on the hook for most of that. Now, I saw a report that they had an insurance policy, which I guess affects the cap in some ways. But either way, it's just a terrible situation for the Browns because of that contract.
Yeah. Yeah, because and one of the things to keep in mind, the trade deadline is November the 5th, right? It's election day, actually.
Yep.
And so same day as the election. The trade deadline is to keep in mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit more next week, obviously. But keep in mind, with the trade deadline looming, there are a lot of teams that are going to be buyers, okay? There are only a handful. For all the bad teams, right now they're probably only, I don't know, 7 teams or so that are really in, you know, strip down mode and race for the number one pick. I mean, we're talking about teams like the Browns in that, the Patriots are obviously in that, with Titans, teams like that we mentioned. Swampers might be in that too. Certainly the Panthers are. But there's so many teams that are buyers. You're like, why haven't the Falcons made a move? Well, there's so many teams that are buyers. And, you know, you have to kind of let, after this week, then we may shed a couple of teams that go, okay, I don't know about buying. We'll see. But the price of poker right now in the free agent world in the NFL is pretty high. 4 o'clock games here. We mentioned the Swampers. They've lost 5 games in a row. They're in Los Angeles against Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Norland's starting to get a little bit healthy. They get Olave back. They get Taysom Hill back. But they don't have their quarterback, and it's Spencer Rattler again. And that franchise. Everybody that's down in the swamp is saying time for Dennis Allen to go. That's not a shock. But they're also asking if Spencer Rattler is really going to be the answer at quarterback for them moving forward. And I don't know. I mean, there are some people in the swamp saying, please lose and let's go get another rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Which, you know, is really interesting, John, because Spencer Rattler became this kind in the last draft cycle, he became this hot name that everybody knew that he was going to get drafted likely in the third or fourth round. And but you know, oh wow, you look at the arm, you know, you start dissecting the tape and maybe there's these things that are good. And I remember in light of that, I asked in the wake of them drafting Michael Penix in the top 10 overall, which obviously took everybody by surprise, I asked Terry Fontenot, like, why not wait until the third or fourth round? And in my mind, I had Spencer Rattler because, you know, everybody kind of was picking him out as this prospect. And he said, well, you can wait until the third or fourth round if there's a quarterback that you truly believe in that spot. But, you know, do you actually have full faith in quarterbacks that are going in that range in this particular draft? Obviously, the Falcons didn't. And it just goes to show, you know, it's a complete lotto ticket. And I'm not trying to write Spencer Rattler's career off at this point, but it certainly doesn't look good. And when you are just thrust into a team and then immediately start having these bad experiences, sometimes that is the thing that can really fully derail a career before it ever really gets going. And I think that just kind of bring it back to the Falcons, just, you know, some of the clairvoyance I think they had in being able to have a quarterback like Michael Penix do exactly what we talked about in that last segment, you know, be able to sit, watch, wait, bide his time, get some opportunities when they come, and then hopefully he'll be ready to go when the team really needs him.
All right, 4 o'clock window again here. Swampers at the Chargers. The Panthers are at the Broncos here. Of course, Andy Dalton in that car accident. The good news is not really hurt that bad, which is good. And Bryce Young will get the start. Panthers, 28th straight game. 28th straight game that they've been an underdog.
Wow. 28
straight games
Wow.
they've been an underdog. Bills are at the Seahawks today. And, of course, the Bills are going on the road all the way over there. The Chiefs, the only unbeaten team in the NFL, at the Raiders. Last time they went to Las Vegas, as Joe mentioned, they lost last year. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, that'll be interesting to go moving. Got to be the favorites. I mean, it's not the prettiest Chiefs team you've ever seen, but they got to be the favorites. I want to get to the Bears and Commanders here. Bears are 4-2. We talk about the number one seed. We talk about teams that are overachieving. Dan Quinn's done a really good job with in D.C. I think you've seen the impact the Bears have had with now you got Caleb Williams, and their skills will be a. It was like he wasn't going to play, then it became a game time decision. Now this morning they're going, we think he's going to play. Mm-hmm. So it's Jaden Daniels against Caleb Williams in these two teams that we have to start paying attention to for a couple of reasons. One, because of racing with them potentially down the road, Joe, for the playoff position, but also because of these teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for the Bears, yeah, they've really started to get their offense going. Obviously had a bye last week, but then coming off of 230-some-odd point performances. So interesting to see Caleb Williams kind of finally get going after it was looking really ugly. I don't know if you remember those games earlier in the season, but, man, he was throwing for about 40 times or 50 times for about 150 yards. It was brutal. And then the Commanders, you know, Jaden Daniels just been a nation. Looks like it's funny how with these rookie quarterbacks, when we talk about the lotto ticket thing, the winning lotto tickets really seem to establish themselves right away. And you kind of just know right immediately kind of who won the game of lotto between all the quarterbacks that got taken. But, yeah, I hope Jaden Daniels can stay because he is so fun to watch player.
Not against us. I mean, healthy, yeah. But not be dynamic. That's all. Sure. I'm saying, you know, hey, Dan Quinn, nice to see you. Let's get a win and go home. Cowboys at the Niners in the 8:20 time slot today. It's so bad in Dallas right now that you know what they were talking about this week? Fan tours. No, I'm not. Ooh. Fan tours of AT&T Stadium. The players have had it up to here. They're talking about how we're sitting in, you know, practice meetings and people are walking through like, you know, we're on display in a museum and they're, oh, hey, and they're like behind a velvet rope and looking in at wow. us at meetings and stuff like that. And we're like, they say it's, they're trying to make so much money on these tours that it's just become, can we practice and be, no, they've got to be like, you know, on display in a zoo. I mean, it's
what a terrible, I mean, It just seems like a totally toxic workplace right now around Dallas. When you talk about that story, you talk about Jerry Jones on his radio call-in kind of threatening to fire, frankly, one of the radio hosts there who was interviewing him while during the interview. I mean, it is absolutely brutal. And it's just like it's hard to see that turning around anytime soon. And definitely worth keeping tabs on that one because the Falcons will see the Cowboys coming up soon.
And Monday Night Football will be the Giants and the Steelers this week. Of course, the Giants on Monday Night Football, not because they're good, but because they're New York. This way, we all understand that. All right, that's the look around the NFL as we continue on the Wait Forward Tailgate Show, brought to you in part by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. Matter of fact, I've got the Breakfast Sauce right here at the Kia Studios because I'm having breakfast.
Always so keep it within arm's reach.
All day. Yeah, right, exactly. Visit the W Sauce retailer near you. Top of the hour, getting closer to kickoff today in Tampa. Falcons in Tampa today on Sports Radio 92 on the game.